kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hi, God bless you. Welcome to the second part of week 4 in the School of Grace, where we are looking at the possibilities of God's omnipotent benevolence, God's grace towards us in Christ. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on His word. Heavenly Father, bring light to our spirits and show us the exceeding greatness of your grace towards us in Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. And cause us to walk in increasing dimensions of grace all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have been looking at the possibilities of grace, what grace can do. And the key to understanding the possibilities of grace is to understand the definition of grace, which we have studied in one of the past weeks, when we saw that grace is omnipotent benevolence, the kindness of the Almighty, almighty kindness, the kindness of God, out of which flows every benefit that comes to us. That's why grace is much more than the forgiveness of our sins. Grace is everything that issues out of God's kindness towards His creatures, towards humanity. And it began long before man came on the scene. God has been gracious from all eternity, and He will still be gracious for all eternity, because grace is part of the character, is one of the attributes of the Almighty God. Blessed be God forevermore. We saw in the last part of week 4 that God's grace is almighty. It brings supernatural ability that makes us to do what we cannot do, to receive what we cannot receive if left on our own. Grace makes difficult things easy, complicated things simple. Grace makes a way where there seems to be no way. There is no mountain that grace cannot move, because grace is God at work. It is God's power working on behalf of a human being to fulfill the will of God and to bring the fullness of God's blessings upon that life. We saw that the knowledge of God can only come by grace. We cannot know God or get our prayers answered or enjoy the presence of Almighty God by merit. God said to Moses, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest because you have found grace in my sight." Grace brings salvation. It is the grace of God that brings salvation. We saw that in Titus chapter 2 from verses 11 to 12. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men," has appeared to all, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. We are told that it is by grace that we have been saved, delivered from judgment, made partakers of Christ's salvation through faith. And this salvation is not of ourselves. It is the grace of God. Grace brings deliverance. When the Bible says that grace brings salvation, it does not just mean that grace brings, you know, born again or the forgiveness of sins. It is holistic salvation, deliverance, freedom. Grace brings freedom, deliverance, freedom from every oppression, every sin, every satanic attack, every lack. It is multidimensional grace, the grace of God that brings deliverance, that brings divine intervention to any and every situation, thereby changing the equation. That's what grace does. Grace also brings access and an introduction. Grace makes it possible for us to come into the presence of God and gives us right standing before Him. Excuse me. Hallelujah. So the grace of God makes it possible for us to have access into the presence of God. We saw in that first part of week 4 that who is it that will dare to come into the presence of God without being invited? We read that in Jeremiah 30, verses 21 and 22. You can read it from the NLT or from the Message translation. God said, I'm going to grant their ruler free and easy access to me. And then God asked a question. He said, would anyone dare to do that on his own, to enter my presence uninvited? You see, you cannot enter into the presence of God uninvited. Can you imagine coming to visit Consuming Fire without an invitation? No, but grace has given us access into the presence of God. Do you know that even in the kingdom of Persia, you could not come into the presence of the king without being invited? So for Esther, for Queen Esther, I'm sure you remember the story, for Queen Esther to enter into the presence of the king, who was her husband, by the way, she had to pray and say, if I perish, I perish. Because she knew it was dangerous to come uninvited before the presence of majesty. But glory to God. Oh, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for our high priest that sits at the right hand of the Father. Thank God for the blood that Jesus shed. We now have a standing invitation into the presence of God. We have a standing invitation. Grace tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. It is grace that has brought us to the throne of grace. It is grace that enables us to stand before the presence of God justified. It is grace that has given us an open door. Grace gives the open door into the presence of God. Oh, glory, glory, glory. This is one of the most precious gifts of grace. An open door. And when you step through the open doors provided by grace, then you find more grace. You see, this is the wonder of this thing. The grace enables us to find more grace. Because of grace, we can find more grace. So through grace, we enter through the open door. We come to the throne of grace, where we find grace to help us and mercy in our time of need. And the more grace we find, the more grace we can find. Oh, out of his fullness, we receive grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. You see, the design of God is that grace will lead to more grace. The Bible says he giveth more grace. God will not run short of grace. He will not run empty. He has an astonishing, boundless abundance out of which we continue to draw. And you know, the glory of God's grace is that the more grace we receive, the more glory God receives. So we praise the glory of his grace. So don't pity God. Don't pity God. That the psalmist said, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? And it's an amazing question. That scripture is found in Psalm 116, and I believe it's verse 12. He said, what shall I render to the Lord? Listen to the answer. He said, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? Look at verse 13. He said, I will take the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. The man says, what am I going to give to God for all of his benefits towards me? And then he says, I will take. So you give to God by taking more. You give to God by taking more grace and then being grateful for grace. Oh, the more grace we receive, the more gratitude we show. God wants us to keep coming, to keep collecting, to keep receiving the grace of peace and joy, the grace of answered prayer. Do you know that the more you come to the throne of grace, the more you will become a channel of grace? The more grace will flow through you, because just like the Lord Jesus, and you know, this is the prayer of my heart. This is my big desire. That just like out of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we all receive grace upon grace. Also, out of the fullness and the abundance of grace in my own life, other people will receive grace upon grace, miracle upon miracle, testimonies upon testimonies, truth upon truth, insight upon insight, revelation upon revelation, impartation upon impartation, coming out of the abundance that I have collected. Do you know these people you call great men of God? I want you to listen well to me, because that is what God has planned for you to be too. Listen, God does not have any favorites. What Jesus did for one person, he did for everybody. It's a question of how much you are collecting. You see, if all of us have access to the throne of grace, but I keep going there every day, and then somebody else comes once a week, we cannot collect the same. We cannot operate at the same level of grace. That's why in this school of grace, we are going to study how to collect grace, how to receive grace. We will study it together. You are going to find that there are means of grace. There are avenues. There are sources. The Lord showed me at least 10 sources of grace, and I will be sharing them with you in this school. Because the more grace you receive, then out of your own fullness, out of the abundance of grace upon your own life, you will minister grace to other people. I read in the Bible the other day, he said, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is useful for edification, that it may impart grace to those that hear. Can you imagine that words that come out of a man or a woman that is full of grace can impart grace to other people? That is why the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples, he said, when you get to that city, say, and you find that house, speak to the house, say, peace rest upon you. He said, if the people in that house are worthy and they are open, your peace will rest upon them. Where did they get this peace from? It's the peace of God that they are carrying. But because of the abundance of this peace, that peace now is transferable. Do you know that grace can be imparted? Pie. Do you know that grace can be imparted? When there is an abundance of grace in a man's life, that grace can be imparted to another person. And that's what God wants us to be. Carriers, channels of grace, downloading, increasing dimensions of grace from the presence of God, from the word of God, from the throne of grace, and bringing grace to a world in disgrace. You see, the world is full of disgrace. They stand in need of grace. But where are the channels of grace? Where are the carriers of grace? It is as we explore the possibilities of the grace of God that more and more grace will flow through us to a needy world. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. Grace brings translation. In Colossians chapter 1, from verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father. Colossians 1 from 12 to 14. He said, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He said, for he has rescued us, delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred, he has translated us to the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Grace translates. Grace uprooted us. Don't forget that it is by grace we are saved. We are now being told that that grace that saved us did not make us new creation and then leave us in an old location. You see, many believers do not understand the multiple dimensions of redemption. First of all, we are new creations. But we are not just new creations, we are also new creations in a new location. In other words, we are not what we used to be, but apart from that, we are also not where we used to be. You see, this scripture is saying that apart from the forgiveness of our sins, which established us as new creatures, brought us redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, that there's something that God did. God translated. One version said he transferred. Another one said he removed us from the kingdom of darkness and he relocated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And in that new kingdom now, we have a new allocation in whom we have what we didn't have before. So notice, we are new creations in a new location with a new allocation. And here is the other one I want to say before I leave the matter, before I travel in a different direction now. Oh, go, glory to God. I want us to focus on grace, but don't miss this. We are new creations translated by grace into a new location, and now endowed by grace with new allocations. We have an inheritance in whom we have an inheritance that we didn't have before in our old location. And now listen, we also have a new vocation. You hear what Paul in Ephesians 4, he says, verse 1, he said, I beseech you, the prisoner of the Lord, I'm begging you, that you walk worthy of the vocation to which you are called. This is the cycle of redemption. Grace not only brings salvation, it brings a translation. Listen, you need to understand the way some Christians pray. You think that them and the devil are neighbors. But the Bible tells us that we have been taken out of his kingdom. We are in a new kingdom. Of course, we walk on planet Earth where he is walking around like a roaring lion looking for whom to devour. But don't forget that the lion of the tribe of Judah lives inside us. As this so-called roaring lion, the fake lion that was crushed on Calvary, as he's roaming around looking for wood to destroy, the lion of the tribe of Judah is roaring from inside us. I said the lion of the tribe of Judah that indwells us. You see, grace not only saved us, grace made it possible for the Savior that saved us to live inside us. That's the guarantee of our deliverance. And because of his presence, that other lion that is roaming around, he has been spoiled. And the one that spoiled him lives inside our hearts. That guarantees our victory. Grace brings a translation. We will spend time to study the man Mephibosheth, who was translated out of the wilderness to the table of the king, all by grace. Grace provides a remedy for our sins and failures and gives us not merely a second chance, but one chance after another to get things right. You see, this is the aspect of grace that some people abuse. But you see, the grace of God makes it possible for us, no matter how far you have gone, no matter what you have done. If you are listening to me now, no matter the guilt and the condemnation that you are facing, grace is offering you another chance. But Ferdinand, does that mean we should continue in sin so that grace may abound? Of course not. Of course not. The Bible says, God forbid. Those that take the grace of God as license for sin, they are going to find out on the last day that they were not dealing with grace. They were being presumptuous. They were insulting grace. And insulting grace is probably the greatest sin that anybody can commit under the new covenant. But grace makes it possible for us to have a second chance. Look at that prodigal son. He has squandered everything. He had spent all of his father's, you know, inheritance with prostitutes. And he had committed all kinds of terrible things. He was now with pigs. And then he was returning home with rags. But grace restored him. Grace, you know, put the ring back on his finger. Grace gave him a new robe. Grace started a feast for a prodigal that was just coming home. I want you to listen. Don't use your past to construct your future, because grace has a new future in mind. Grace gives us a brand new future that we did not merit. Listen, no matter where you are, no matter what you have done, the possibilities of grace means that God has never closed your case. God is restoring you back and restoring you to full rights as a child of God. Your full place at his table in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the miracle of the grace of God. And without that grace, who will be able to stand? The Bible said, if God were to mark and count our sins, who will be able to stand? So, but don't take this this as a license. Oh, so there is grace, eh? Okay. Let me do whatever I like. I will come back and I'll ask for forgiveness. You dare not do that. We dare not take God. The Bible says, you know, that there is forgiveness with God so that he may be feared. He said, if thou, God, should mark iniquity, who will be saved? He said, but there is forgiveness with you so that you can be feared. The reason that God forgives is not so that he can be taken for granted, is so that we can fear him. In Isaiah chapter 40, we see another miracle of grace. Grace makes an exchange possible. Grace makes it possible for an exchange to take place. In Isaiah 40, from 28, he said, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he is neither faint nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint or to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. He said, even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength. You see, that word renew there is chaya. They will exchange. They will exchange their strength. And when they renew their strength and exchange their strength, what's going to happen? They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. And they will walk and they will not faint. He said, those that wait on God, those that focus on God, those that gaze on God, those that wait on Jehovah. The Young's literal translation of Isaiah 40, that scripture there says, that verse 31, Young's literal said, he said, those expecting Jehovah, they pass to power. He said, those expecting Jehovah, those that wait, those that gaze, those that hope, those whose eyes are on God and on his grace and his own ability, they pass to power. They exchange. You see, grace makes it possible when we come to the throne of grace to begin to operate with power that is not ours. You see, the reason is because at the throne of grace, we exchange our weakness with his power. He takes our weakness and gives us his power. He takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. He takes our condemnation and gives us his justification. He takes our worries and gives us his peace. He takes our anxieties and gives us his rest. He takes our sicknesses and gives us his health. Grace is what makes this exchange possible because Jesus paid the price. So when we come to the place of grace, hallelujah, when we come to the place of grace, we become a wonder. We become a wonder to people. The reason is because they cannot explain us. They can't explain us. This man that is so weak, why is he mounting up? The secret why the man that was faint, the woman that was weak and cast down, the reason she is mounting up with wings as eagles is because of grace. Grace. She found grace. She found grace. That is why in Psalm 71 verse 7, the Bible said, I am as a wonder to many, but God is my strong refuge. This version said, I am an inexplicable wonder. I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. Psalm 71 verse 7. You become like a wonder. You see, a woman of grace, you can't explain the person. You cannot explain a man of grace. There will be a factor present and manifest in their life that is beyond explanation. Why? What is that factor? It's grace. When people expect them to collapse, when you have closed their case, they bounce up again. Whoa, hallelujah, hallelujah. Grace can open a case that human beings have closed. Glory to the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hey, study grace. Stay with these truths. Listen to this teaching over and over. Let the grace of God rise up and bring you over. Bring you to the mountaintop. Cause you to mount up with wings. Exchange your weakness. Exchange your fears with his boldness. And your weakness with his power. Grace. God's grace. Grace is sufficient for every situation. You read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. It's the story you know, when Paul was telling the story of the thorn in the flesh and the rest of that story, you know, remember he was facing this thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. And some people say that Paul was sick here. The Bible doesn't say anything like that. Thorn in the flesh is a clear idiom. God told the people of Israel, he said, if you don't cast out all those nations when you arrive in the promised land, there will be a thorn in your flesh. It's a picture of trouble. And that scripture actually went on to say that this thorn in the flesh was a messenger. And the word messenger there is angelos, an angel, a messenger of Satan, a demon spirit that was following Paul and causing trouble. So Paul prayed, take away this thing from me. He said, three times I prayed. And look what God said to Paul. He said, my power is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. It's sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. You know, some people use this scripture. They say, well, you see, God did not answer Paul's prayer. Oh, no, 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 no. How can God say, my grace is sufficient? And then somebody say that he didn't answer the prayer. It's because you don't understand grace. You see, when some people think of grace here, they are just thinking of inner enablement to strengthen you, you know, to strengthen you inside. Grace is inner enablement, but grace is much, much, much more than inner enablement. Grace is multidimensional. The grace of God that gave Paul victory over this thorn in the flesh was not just inner enablement. It was holistic grace. See, what God was telling Paul is that my grace is sufficient, is adequate, is enough, is satisfactory. That's what sufficient means. Appropriate, plenty, abundant, is enough. What Paul was saying, what God was telling Paul is there is no thorn or attack of the enemy that my grace cannot neutralize. No challenge that grace cannot overcome. That's what God was telling Paul. See, what God was saying to Paul, look, my power. Notice that as God was talking of grace, he began to talk about his power. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. For when you are weak, I am strong. So Paul said, I'm going to glory in my weakness because when I am weak, God is strong. What does that mean? It meant that in his weakness, God's power will neutralize every weakness. What God was saying to Paul is, there is nothing this messenger of Satan can do to you that my grace cannot undo. There is nothing that the enemy will do that my power cannot cancel. That's what God was telling him. So grace has to be understood holistically as all of God's merciful provisions, his assistance, not just inner enablement. Do you know that the grace of God in the life of Paul included people like that God put in his life? Aquila and Priscilla, people that laid down their neck for Paul's life. So this grace was not just spiritual. See, God's grace that was sufficient for Brother Paul was physical grace, material grace, tangible grace. Grace of people. Do you know that the people that God bring into your life, they are part of God's gift of grace to you? A good wife, for instance, is a gift of grace. Do you know that for Brother Paul, one time the sufficient grace of God included miracle working power? Committed brethren. One time the grace of God was brethren that helped him to escape in a basket. Remember when they had locked the doors and all the gates of the city of Damascus was shut. Grace made a window on the wall. You know, they thought they have shut the place. They are going to kill Brother Paul. But listen to me. Grace pointed out. I can imagine the brethren say, there is a window on this wall. Somebody said, I have a basket. Somebody looked at Brother Paul, said, the man is small enough. He can enter into my basket. Somebody said, let's use the rope. It was grace at work. And these committed brethren in the night, they put Paul in the basket, passed him through the window on the wall. Oh, grace, 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 grace. No matter how thick and how high the wall the enemy has built, grace makes a window through the wall. A window in the wall is the miracle of grace. Grace, the grace of God. Do you know that the partner churches, they were part of grace to Paul? Partners are part of grace, God's grace, to a genuine minister of the gospel. And let me tell you one amazing one that struck me. Do you remember when some people planned to kill Brother Paul? A nephew overheard, Paul's nephew overheard the plan. And the Bible says the boy ran to the commander. He said, "Commander, commander, I want to see my uncle." And he told Paul what happened. Paul said, "Is it true?" He said, "Yes, uncle, they are planning to kill you. There are 40 of them. They are waiting by the road." It was grace that provided that information. I want you to listen. Part of what grace will do for you is that grace will give you privileged information. No wonder grace tells us that we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Grace will give you information. Grace will show you secrets that otherwise you never would have known. Grace will show you the things that belong to your peace. The things that will help to frustrate the moves of the enemy of your soul. Grace. And you know what happened that night? The Bible says the commander got 200 foot soldiers. 200 soldiers that were on cavalry, that were riding horses. 200 soldiers carrying spears. 200 soldiers carrying swords. And 70 soldiers that we are riding on horses. 470. You can read the story in Acts of the Apostles chapter 23. 470 Roman soldiers. And then they provided a horse for Brother Paul. They put Paul in the middle of 470 Roman soldiers. There were 40 Jewish guys waiting to kill Paul by the roadside. When those 470 soldiers, armed to the teeth, protecting the man of God, when they came around, all those 40 riffraffs, they postponed their plan. They said, "We will get him another day." Grace provided a battalion of soldiers to protect the man of God. Grace, when they had finished stoning Brother Paul, it was grace, supernatural grace, God's power. Listen, nobody ever survived Jewish stoning. The Jews stoned you. If they stoned you, you died. There is no history of anybody who survived stoning by the Jews. Look at Achan. Look at Achan in the Old Testament. You don't survive when the Jews stone you. Because we are not talking of pebbles. We are talking of rocks. Jagged, ragged rocks. Being hauled at somebody. And then when the person falls down, they raise boulders and crush the person to pulp. Do you know they finished stoning Brother Paul? The Bible says the brethren gathered around him. They left him for dead. They had finished with him. But never close the case of a man or a woman that has grace. Don't close the case, because grace guarantees the resurrection. Do you know they came around Brother Paul? We are not even told they prayed. And the Bible said Paul got up. He shook himself. He entered into the town. The following day, the man traveled. What about all the fractures from broken bones? What about all the internal organs smashed by rocks? Grace had done a miracle. God's power quickened the man. All of this was part of the grace of God that was sufficient in Paul's life. God, no matter what you are facing now, I'm speaking to you. No matter what you are facing, you will find God's power sufficient for you. His grace, his power will be manifested in your weakness and in your inability. You know, we can go on and on and on. Those that find grace, they will survive the wilderness. You can read that. This is one of my favorites. You can read that in Jeremiah 31 verses 2 and 3. You see, the people who survived the sword, they found grace in the wilderness. Grace in the wilderness. The people, why did they survive? It was because they found grace. Why did they survive the wilderness? It was grace. The grace of manna raining down from heaven for 40 years. Can you imagine? Free food that they didn't eat for 40 years. It was grace. The grace of the pillar of cloud over them by day, protecting them from the heat. The grace of the pillar of fire by night, providing light and warmth, enabling them to travel by day or by night. The grace of water from the rock. The grace of healing when the fiery serpents beat them. The grace of God's protection. The grace of God. That grace was abundant for them. It was sufficient. they survived the wilderness. You will survive any wilderness in the name of Jesus, because you will find increasing dimensions of grace. And even the people that Jesus fed, there was grace in the wilderness. Remember, Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he lifted it up to heaven, and he lifted up his eyes and he blessed it. And grace multiplied bread. God's power multiplied bread in that wilderness to feed the people. And there is so much more that you are going to find about grace. Grace brings promotion and glory. Oh, Psalm 84 verse 11. He said, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." Note, grace and glory. Not glory and grace. The reason is because glory cannot precede grace. Until you find grace, you cannot find glory. We are glorified in Christ because of the grace that came to us through Christ. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in you. Hallelujah. The Bible says the king loved Esther and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the other virgins. And he set the crown upon her head. That's Esther chapter 2 verse 17. It was grace that brought Esther, a humble Jew, to become the queen of the empire. The grace of God will bring you glory. Promotion does not come from the east nor from the west. But God is the judge. Grace makes it possible for a virgin to conceive. Why is that so? Because Mary found grace. Remember, when the angel came to Mary, he said, "Oh, thou favored of the Lord, you have found grace in the sight of God. Blessed be God forevermore." There is no mountain that grace cannot move. There is no impossibility that grace cannot overcome. Grace gives the victory over sin, over temptation, over the iniquities of our time. Grace gives us power to live a holy and a righteous life. Grace attends to us financially. Financial, you're going to find as we study that grace is multidimensional. There is financial grace. There is healing grace. All kinds of grace make these things possible in the name of Jesus Christ. Grace is the secret of great accomplishments. In Zechariah chapter 4, he says, "Therefore no mountain," Zechariah 4 verse 7, he said, "Therefore no mountain, however high, can stand before Zerubbabel, for it will flatten out before him." The KJV says, "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will finish building this temple with mighty shouts of thanksgiving for God's mercy, declaring that all was done by grace alone." The King James said he will be shouting, "Grace, grace, grace." Zerubbabel, how was this temple finished? He said, "Grace, grace, 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 grace." How was this magnificent temple completed by these returnees after 70 years in exile in Babylon? The man said, "Grace, grace, grace." Every mountain that is confronting you, grace will flatten it out. Supernatural ability, attending and intervening, will change the equation. Oh, glory to the Son of God. Glory to the Son of God. Your heart is established by grace. I want to read you this scripture. This is in Hebrews 13 and verse 9. Hebrews 13 verse 9 says, "Do not be carried about by different and varied and alien teachings. For it is good for the heart to be established and ennobled and strengthened by means of grace." You see, the grace of God strengthens, fortifies, ennobles, encourages, fortifies and establishes you inside. Grace. You see, when other people are floating, when other people are wondering and they are fearful, grace fortifies your heart. He said, "But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus," he said, "after you have suffered a while, he will perfect you, he will establish you, he will strengthen you, he will settle you." He said, "To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever." That is grace. And do you know that fruitful ministry is a function of grace? It is as you obtain more grace and mercy that you will not faint, you will not lose heart. After Brother Paul accomplished all that he accomplished, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than all of them. Yet it was not I, but it was the grace of God which was with me. So you see, Brother Paul, how did he write half of the New Testament? He said it was grace. How did he do all of these things, these missionary journeys, all of these great things that this man did? He said it was grace. It was the grace of God that was at work in me and through me. And I say to you, child of God, as you grow in exploring these possibilities of grace, grace will accomplish much in your life. Grace will accomplish much through your life because you become a channel of grace. You will find that grace sufficient. You will survive the wilderness. You will not only survive, you will thrive. Because grace has brought a relocation. You have been translated by grace, recreated by grace, sustained by grace. And that grace that has brought you safe thus far, that grace will be sufficient all the days of your life. In the name of Jesus. Oh, let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you, gracious Father, for this word of life and power. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that grace is entering. Grace is imparted now to this listener. You are receiving an impartation of grace now into your spirit. Strength in your inner man. A lifting up. You will mount up with wings as eagles in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, gracious Father. Lord, we praise you that our hearts are established by grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, any mountain facing this listener now, flatten out in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every satanic opposition. We interpose the grace of God into that equation. Receive a miracle now in Jesus' name. Thank you, blessed Father. Glory and praise and honor and majesty to you and to you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with me in this school of grace. Invite other people to study grace. Begin to teach grace. Do a Bible study. Set up a small group, virtual small group, online. People that you talk with by WhatsApp or Zoom. And you are studying the grace of God. And exploring the wonders of God's infinite grace available to us in Christ. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea.